Getting everybody up. Maria, speaker now. Sent an invite to Sebi. Maria, can you hear me?
I can. I'm so glad to catch up. It feels like forever after 1 week. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm so sad that I didn't go to NFT NYC in the end. I had to cancel my trip, but all is well. But I'm disappointed I didn't get to meet all you guys. Once again, I just have FOMO. I got in the chat. I saw you guys making your plans, going place to place, but you know what I mean?
Yes. Well, tell me, because I was coming with something for you. And as you didn't came, I gave it to my friend, which you made someone really happy. But yeah, I mean, I hope like it wasn't any serious, but definitely we were like really hoping to meet you. Sebi, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm good. I'm hearing you now. Before I didn't. So does everybody hear people talking here?
Yeah, I'm good. I can hear you, Sebi.
Okay. Now it's all fine. Just wanted to know. Okay.
Maybe if anyone listening in the listeners, if you can give a thumbs up if the sound is good for everybody. Okay. Oh, yeah, we're good. We're good. Thanks. Well, a thumbs down from Whale Mom. Oh, no. But I got thumbs up from everybody else. So how you guys? How are you doing? Yeah, I saw that you were. You said you were sick for a bit, Maria. Hope you're feeling better.
Oh yes, let me tell you, I'm old. Okay, I'm getting older. Last year, I was everything fine. I blame New York City weather with all my soul. Like I went there traveling sick. Then it's been raining like crazy the first day. So obviously I ended up being more sick with fever, talking on NFT NYC. But well, I'm way better. I'm trying to catch up with the sleep. I don't know what happened. Last year I didn't have any jet lag. This year I experienced. I don't want it for anyone. But apart from that, great. Like really, seriously, really happy to be on Spaces again.
Sorry, I'm just reposting and things like that. That's good. Yeah, I know. Like, well, I don't know about maybe it's the weather. I don't know. I'm sorry to hear. But I mean, conferences, like I was saying, I feel like I can't leave my yard without getting like a cold over the last 6 months. I've gotten like so many just back to back anytime I go and do anything. So maybe I dodged that by not attending. But yeah, I hope everyone's doing good. And Sebi, how are you? How's life?
Yeah, I mean, I'm working hard on my next collection, having fun, and I just posted progress, so if anybody wants to see where I'm sitting and what I'm doing, I literally posted what I do right now.
Awesome. And feel free to pin it in the space as well, and if anybody wants to jump up and chat, you know, it's like an open floor for these spaces, so feel free to just request a mic. If you want to join in and chat at any point. Maria, I wanted to open with a proposal for you. I have do you know Peps Project?
Yes, I do.
They have like a little drawing app on their website. Have you played with it?
No, not really.
Okay. It's just like, you know, like a little web-based drawing app you can draw with your mouse.
Nice, but also nightmare, to be honest.
It is a nightmare. Okay, I wanted to propose. I've been wanting to propose this to you for a while. Here's a little sample I did on their app. You know, women from Cosmos, right? Of course.
Yeah, sounds familiar, you know?
It sounds familiar, right? Okay, I want to propose this to you. I'm going to pin it into the space. How about a collab we do, which is, this is really near and dear to my heart. How about we do like a balding men from Cosmos as a collab? What do you think?
Sorry. I love it, to be honest.
What do you think?
No, yes, yes, I love it. I'm not joking. I'm not joking.
Can you see the inspiration I took?
It's beautiful. You know, like, looks like he loves to drink beers, you know, with this sexy tummy. I don't know. I think it will be a success.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I was waiting like 2 weeks to share that with you, so I'm happy to to post it.
Yeah, you mentioned it last space, so here we go. The art is ready. Very nice.
Yeah, so that's, we got Alpha. I got the, I minted the name on Stargaze, so we got the Alpha here for Balding Men from Cosmos. hello. Hi, Daniel. Welcome up and congrats on your featured this week. So maybe we could start off just by introducing your piece a little bit. Might as well.
Hey, Daniel. Hey, everybody. How is it doing? Yes, I'm almost like freaking out. Like, this is something that I was not waiting for, like, this response, this good response from every one of you in these spaces. And yeah, I'm kind of astonished, but in a good way, you know. I am on my way to the gym as usual for these spaces, you know. yeah, I think this is the time that my collection is already ready for mint. So hopefully I will get good results. Yeah, I'm very, very, oh God, it's something that I cannot conceal anymore, like this excitement, you know, this happiness, because this path was very interesting for me. I learned so many things, and this is what I do appreciate the most, what I have learned in these maybe 2 months since Aura told me, like, hey, you should try NFTs and show your work, your talent. So definitely these 2 months has been one of the most important in my career as an artist. So I'm full of gratitude with you all. And yeah, thank you for this space.
Awesome. Yeah, well, congrats on launching your first piece. And this, I know you had something featured on like the subway in your city. Is it the same as this piece, or was that something different? Just out of curiosity.
Yeah, the picture that is in that post was the picture that was exhibited in the Transmilenio. Transmilenio is not a subway properly. It's more like a bus station system. So yeah, in Bogota we don't have metro. Currently, yeah, the city is constructing, is building the first line of subway, you know, the metro. But this system, Transmilenio, as I told you, is like a bus station system. So the city government, you know, just decide to select the work of a young artist. And the idea was to talk about the city. So there was so many approaches from many artists, but the one that I chose was this project, The Saturated City. And just because it was the idea of Bogota suffers from a serious problem of pollution. And when the fires comes, like in the hills, it's a serious problem, you know? So I decided just to send that inside for this open call of the government in that time. But I mean, that picture is not published in this station, as you see in the picture anymore, because that was like 4 years ago, I think.
Oh, cool. Right on. Yeah. Well, congrats on your launch. And I just wanted to say hello to Aura as well, who hopped up. Aura, how are you doing?
Can I? Yes, for a second, jump here, because sorry, Aura, don't hate me, because I think we have to send this to Daniel. Hey, congratulations.
Girl, thank you.
Yeah. You're officially a part of a Stargate.
Oh, you're so kind. Thank you very much. Oh, God. That was a really nice surprise.
Daniel, can you hear me?
Yeah, my dear, I can hear you.
Finally. internet troubles here, but I am happy to listen to you. Hey, Brady, Sevi, Maria, Brasco, Matkada, all everyone. I'm happy to listen to you in this space today.
I really want to say something that it's kind of special. That 2 months ago, like the 12th of February, I think, it was the time that Aura and me met. We have lunch and she told me like, yeah, try the NFTs. And 2 months later, like today is my launch. And so it's kind of magical. Don't you think that?
Yes, it's amazing. And another history is that later, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, we returned to make art maybe at the same time. And we can share our process very similar in the same epoch. I don't know how to say
that. Yeah, I mean, in the same time, yeah, because we decided just to take a time, like a time apart from art, because it was like our minds were full of stuff, like a lot of things in the world is happening, yeah, and in our lives, maybe we cannot afford to keep doing art. But like from the last year, we decided like, okay, just start again to do art. And yeah, it's like us, we are sync, you know, like we are, you are in the same path in the same time. And this is lovely.
Yes, finally we can not live without art. That is the conclusion, right?
Yes, you are right, my girl, you are right.
Yeah, that's awesome. And shout out to Figueros as well, who's not here, but you guys got the whole kind of Columbia crew releasing on Stargaze, and it's pretty cool, especially because you guys all have that connection in real life as well. Neat to see.
Yes, I really want to shout out Figueros because in this last month, he has been like my closest teacher in this path because he's like a really, really smart man. Like he knows how the Web3 works, and when Aura or me we don't understand something, he is full of patience and he explained us how to do the things. And yeah, he's a really nice man. And I hopefully maybe he can connect maybe in a few minutes. But yeah, I really want to say that I'm really grateful this case because he's part of minting and how all these things about the collection works. It was very hard for me in the beginning, but thanks for Figueros, it was kind of easier for me to get in, you know. So I'm feeling so grateful with him and shout out for him.
So, I made the topic for today, like physical and digital, just cause we can talk about whatever. Right. But, just as a general thing, I thought maybe we could kick off by if you had any stories from NFT NYC. Like, I know you went there, Maria, with a bunch of stuff to give to people. We had a bunch of like things we made, stickers and stuff as well for Signal, and, didn't get to give them out to anybody. And you said you had something for me that went to someone else because I wasn't there. But maybe just could you if you wanted to share some stories from the event or like, when you get to meet some people who maybe collected your stuff and you have the opportunity to give them things like that.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I decided like this year, like I was moving back to Spain before traveling, which let me tell you guys, it's not a good idea. It's not a good idea. You ended up being crazy. But well, I really wanted to do something special. Obviously, I wish I could have organized like a little meetup or something, but obviously this year has been like too crazy. So I was like, okay, let me prepare something personal. Let's say, so I've been asking, if not asking, because I know your peace signal. I was collecting, downloading all the different pieces that I know my holder has from, like OG Women from Cosmos collection on Stargaze, from Polygon collection on Stargaze, because obviously this year I got to meet way more people as well from Polygon. And I decided to print them. What I did. It was like basically I prepare an envelope which A5 print of the lady you guys were holding, as well as a little A6, which is the lady that was exhibited during NFT NYC with her poem as well. I brought a bunch of stickers, also badges as well, my business card, which is also like a piece of little art. In the behind, with also Women from Cosmos art, and just personalize an envelope for everyone who was attending. And I think it was pretty cool, to be honest. Like, I really love it. I've been trying to, like printing pieces and so on. And I have to say that I was really happy with the quality, because I tried before like this kind of print on demand, but it's not the same like printing properly. I had the opportunity here. So, I was carrying like my huge tote bag with the Women from Cosmos logo full of things around. So, the crazy one going around with a bunch of stuff, that was me. But I think it was pretty cool, because apart from, typical sticker that you're bringing with you for people and business card, I think it was like extra special in the sense to prepare something for everyone, like personalized for everyone. And I'm really glad, like, for what I see, they love it. So, I think it was really, really nice to see as well my pieces, like physical, right?
Yeah, that's sweet. I did the same. I had printing out all these stickers, and we did one that was like extra nice and sparkly with like a different gloss for Joe, Cosmos Joe. And I know he wouldn't appreciate it or like recognize what's nice about it, but I was really excited to give him that one from the signal pieces as well. That's awesome though. Yeah, it's got to be pretty cool, like giving these specific pieces that people own to them and things. That connection's neat.
Oh, yes. Also, now I'm looking back and I see myself like if I was a dealer, with the envelope, like, yes, this for you, this for you. But I don't know. I wanted to do something for them to keep them, because also you have to keep in mind, like, when you're going to these conferences, obviously, then you're moving from site event to site event. Most probably, you're not carrying, like, I don't know, a bag or whatever with you. So just to avoid them missing all of them around, just wanted to keep it all organized. But I think it was pretty cool. I really love meeting everyone. Obviously, sadly this year I wasn't my best. I was like literally a zombie walking through New York. But still, it was really worth it and great, having the opportunity as well to meet people from Polygon. It was really nice.
Add another question. Is it worth it to get, like, let's say you don't have the artist ticket. Is it worth it to get the main NFT NYC ticket? Or do people go and just go to all the side events
Okay,
and just skip that
so
one?
this is a recorded space, but it's okay. I'm gonna share it anyway. No, I don't think it's worth it, to be honest. Like, if I wasn't getting the free ticket as being an artist and also a speaker, I wouldn't purchase myself, because to be honest, my personal days, like, I really prefer the side events. In where that there are people, to network, you're having fun, and it's way easier, because what happened on the main event is obviously you're going with different group of people, and you're mainly going from conference to conference on just going to, take 100 pictures of your art and friends' art being exhibited, and you don't really have that much time to get to network and get to, you know, to meet new people. Plus, also, I have to say, it's really easy to just enter the conventions, you know, the convention center. Like, I've never been wearing my thingy. My friend, she has it as well, because they give me one free ticket for her as I apply for a grant. Didn't get it, but they were pretty cool to give me one ticket. And we both enter without showing anything. So that's another thing.
So that's your official position is don't buy a ticket. It's not worth it. Just sneak in.
No, I don't want to say sneak it. I want to say go to site events. Okay. Okay. That's why I was saying, like, it's a recorded space. No, but seriously, like, site events are the best. Obviously, you can go to the ones that really interest you, and you know which kind of people are going to be there, right? Like, for example, the Stargaze events, you know that you're going to meet Cosmos people there, or maybe Ordinal peoples as well, in that case of the Nolcha show. So, I don't know. I really prefer it. It's more casual and friendly, you know? Also, I don't know, people tend to be drunk. So it's, you know, for anyone who is shy, not me included, you know, it's really easy to get and start a conversation.
Yeah, let's go. I'll keep in mind for next year when I book a ticket and then don't go in the end. I wonder, Sebi, I was wondering, like, you've released a lot of stuff. Have you had much experience with like sharing physical copies with collectors, or maybe meeting people? Have you done anything like that?
Yeah, I've been doing art, physical art, for 20 years. So I have tried out everything, and paintings, you know, you have to store them. And I'm walking around right now in my studio that looks like a storage space full of pieces up to 2 meters high and 1.5 meter wide. And a lot are sold, a lot are still like hanging around. And this is the one thing, physical art you create, you have to store. And the other thing is prints. Prints actually are easy to store. I mean, it's just a sheet of paper up to, let's say, 100 by 70 centimeters or something. And that's easy. So we also run a small printing studio and make art prints with our own art. Like if it's, for example, an NFT can be printed as well. But our own and others' art. So we have, I don't know, 200... art prints made, handmade by screen printing. And yeah, it's interesting. It's very physical. Actually, you have to work with your body to create these. And the biggest, but no storage needed, is the wall paintings. So if you go out and do murals, you have huge physical art, but you don't have to store it. So that's the things I did for 20 years. And now the digital space is open, or the Web3 is developing in a way I want to join and be part of it since 2 years. And I really enjoy this fact that you don't actually need storage, you know? Of course you need it. You need some data space. But in the end, physical, it's like zero. So I think I can give a lot of answers to people who try to go to make physical art out of their digital art and stuff like that. So I'm more than open to talk a little bit this space.
How about with stuff that you've released on Stargaze, some of your collections? Have you done a lot of prints of them, or like mailed them out to people, or other things like that?
Yeah, I gamified one of my collections. That's the All One collection. It's there is an alphabet in the collection in the trades. So if you actually collect all letters of the alphabet, I will send you a free print. And that's not just a print, it's a good quality print, because I know how to do good quality. And it's a cool thing. It worked out like three times, I think, I printed them out, and I had a few orders. Like, without having the alphabet, you can order as well, what's also nice. That's the one thing. And the other thing is another collection that worked the other way around. I draw with my machines with pens. So it's like from Illustrator, you have paths and you can make a machine draw them. So I prepared one of my plotters to draw pieces, and these were in the end digital pieces as well. I made RayPro photographs of them, and then it was the other way around. So actually, if you own the digital version of it, you can get reduced price on the original, stuff like that. So you can play around with that and dance a little bit between digital and physical art.
Awesome. And hey, Drew, I see you hopped up. How you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. I'm waiting to pick up my dog. So I'm just parked across the street from the veterinary hospital. She's fine, by the way, but I'm sitting on the side of the road doing this space, staring at the vet, waiting for them to call me.
Well, I'm glad to hear it's nothing, nothing too crazy. Hopefully just something routine or whatever. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I said just routine, just a regular old visit.
Yeah, good. I had a question for Sebi. In your practice of like doing printing and so on, I'm curious to know what are like some of your biggest challenges, translating a let's say a digital piece that's intended for screen, that's built in like an RGB color space, translating that to print, and ensuring that it isn't like an inferior product when it becomes physical. I'm sure you have probably some insights beyond like just converting it to like a CMYK color space or something like that. I'm curious to know, like, you mentioned screen printing. I'm sure you just probably do digital prints as well. Maybe you could speak a little bit more to that, how you kind of like overcome these issues with like color correction and all that stuff.
Yeah, sure. Smück, we say in German, we say Smück, but there's the when RGB combines, it's a different kind of color than if you put color on top of another color. So there's two different color spaces, right? And the one is for printing because you put color on top of color, and the other one is for screens because you blend them together, kind of adding. And the other one is like a minus. So yes, the problem is you have to convert it, blah blah blah. But this changed a little bit. So if you have a modern inkjet, you just feed it JPEG with RGB, and the RIP, like the processor inside the machine, will do the rest for you. So we are already in a field, technical wise, that's dealing with that problem a little bit. But of course, color grading can be a pain. So you need a machine that's already set up for a good color quality for the paper you use. And I have a pretty good inkjet machine as well, because screen printing is not necessarily the best technique for things with gradients and a lot of colors in it, because you have to do one screen for every color. If you want blend color, you have some tricks by hand, but in the end you need to do half tones and stuff like that. I have a lot of halftones in my work generally, but that's a little more complicated. So screen print is like the let's say the highest quality, because you really add paint, like more, it's more physical than a digital printer, right? You have more errors and more human you can feel more the human in the work. And if we talk about Warhol or so, he used screen print. So this is fully art. And a digital print with inkjet is also low quality and everything. But if you have a good printer, you can go high quality as well. For example, your latest piece would be printed, I think, with an inkjet.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, you know, I guess if you're familiar with what I do and whatnot, if there was one thing that you could recommend to me, one thing that I had to like kind of consider in the creation of my artwork, intending for it to be seen on screen and also on print, and have those two kind of experiences like be equal, like I'd not necessarily having one be inferior, you know, what would you say is like the one thing that I should consider, if there is one thing?
Resolution is one thing. You have to have enough pixels to have a good print in the end. That's the very first thing. And you have to be aware that the color spaces are different. So if you have, a magazine has a smaller color space than a screen. A screen has a lot of colors. So you have to scale down. You have to know you reduce your color space. For example, if you want to show neon colors on screen, that's possible. It's also possible to print in screen printing neon color, but you will never achieve this with an inkjet because there is no neon. And that's why a lot of more modern inkjets have not four colors or six colors then, and now they have up to 12 colors. So they try to make the best out of it, but still there's an infinite amount of colors you can process that way. So in the end, I would say you need time. Go make sample prints and try out what you can do. But there is no formula you can follow. It's just try and error. Printing is a little bit of a process.
Thank you. I definitely hear you on, you know, test prints and you know, the value of, you know, not just sending it straight to the printer and accepting the first result and so on. In the past, I, you know, sometimes you had to kind of go back and edit your source file and boost certain things in the file and so on and so forth. It really is kind of a collaborative effort between, you know, the artist or designer and the printer, depending on, you know, what it is that you're putting together. I wanted to ask you more specifically about. I'm asking you because you're the you seem to be an expert, and obviously anyone, if anyone else has like any insights into this, please feel free to jump up. But you know, I'm familiar with the fact that like consumer grade printers use like four inks typically. Your cyan, magenta, yellow, black. But you mentioned that there are some printers that use up to 12 inks. Are those varying shades of those like four primary colors? And this might be like a kind of weirdly technical question, but is that something you would more typically see in like a professional grade printer?
Yeah. So, that's called glacé or fine print. And, they have these in between colors that not, appear if you mix them. So for example, there is blue in two or three shades. You have different blacks for more matte and more glossy black. You have transparent in the end as well to boost the depth. There is like they found out that you need more than just that four colors to mix, because these four colors are reducing the amount of colors you can actually produce in the end. So yeah, that's totally right. And but it's not a big budget you need. I bought a printer for, let's say, $2,000, and the color is very expensive. That's right. You go up to A2 what's big enough for print. I don't think you need more than a meter in print size. And it's okay if you like to print, make it try it out or find somebody with a good printer. But don't just send it to an online thing and hope for the best. That's not going to be the best result. If it's not a very expensive service, and then you print maybe 20, 30, and you can buy a printer yourself. The other problem is with these printers, you have to have them run. If you don't run them, they will go dry. So if you don't print like once in a week or more, don't buy one of these printers. I have the problem. The printer needs to be used. So I have different people using this printer to have it in good shape when I need it then. But the most important thing, because I said don't use these cheap online printing services, it's about the paper. The paper is the most important part. You start with it. It's like the base. And they're so good papers. We have a few German brands that are really good. Hahnemühle maybe is a brand everybody knows. And there's really good quality as well.
I'll have to pick your brain grab a my bit dog more about that offline sometime, just about paper choice and all that kind of stuff. But thanks for the response. I appreciate that.
Yeah, sure. Hit me up if you need anything.
I just wanted to, I've got to go offline for like 20 minutes. So Maria, I hope you can host. I can't give you co-host, but I just wanted to pass off so someone's kind of hosting.
Okay, no problem. Yes, I wanted to add also like 100% don't go to this online print of demand services, because as I said, I tried like last year and definitely the quality sucks. Like sucks big time. I was really happy that this year I could go myself to check, because it's what Sari said, like obviously the paper is really important. And also when you're printing something, you want to make sure that you're giving quality as well, right? So I think like we can continue with the topic of physical and digital. I know we have here in the space like a bunch of artists who are actually mixed media. And I was maybe wondering like if you have any, you know, funny story to share in terms of when you try digital. Because, for example, I'm going to start with one myself. I remember when I got my first digital, how do you call it? Digital thing and digital screen. Well, it wasn't an iPad. You have to draw on it, but I couldn't see what I was doing. And I remember it was so lost, like, you know, like coming from drawing physical to try this digital tablet, whatever. I was just, you know, trying to do things. I have to see on the screen what I was doing. I felt so lost, like, I don't know where I'm drawing. So I don't know if you guys have some kind of, you know, a story to share related to when you started trying with digital, or maybe as well, what do you prefer, or which kind of feeling you could say that physical will give you rather than digital? You know, just starting the conversation. Aura, go ahead.
Thank you, Maria. That is a good topic. I agree that the difference in between physical art in the way to make digital is very different. For me, I start in physical. Right now, I am made, for example, sketches in digital in the iPad, and then I put all of these in the oil and the canvas. For me, I prefer the physical, maybe because I like the experience to feel the smell and the texture and the gravity of the material. But in the other case, when I don't have my materials, I want to I love to make a digital painting. Maybe the relationship is very it's different in the process. Maybe the physical is more slow, and the digital maybe for me is faster. Is not a process of patience, but Yeah, I don't need to show one of them. I can do it in both.
I love that, to be honest. And I think that's pretty cool because in my case, you know, like I've been drawing more digital and even more since I got the iPad like a few years ago. But I'm always coming back to physical when, you know, like I'm burned out or whatever. I'm doing exactly the opposite. Like I do maybe sketches on my notebook and then I take a picture that I transfer to the iPad and then I continue there. I 100% agree on physical. You feel it like way different and also it's more tough, right? Like in the sense, like I'm sure guys, if you're used to do like digital art, it's pretty easy to try to go back. And obviously that doesn't happen when you're drawing on a physical. So I would love to hear from someone else. Like Sebi, what do you think about this?
Yeah, my story is also, I studied art history. And before that, I studied graphic design. And I had to learn all these graphic programs. So I was actually growing an artist at the same time as like a physical artist at the same time as learning the digital tools. And I use them as tools, you know. So if I create anything, I always ask myself, what tool is the best to do it? So I don't necessarily need to do anything digital if I just need a drawing to find out how to to find an idea in general and sketch a little bit. So I just need paper. And if I need something that's more complex or like creating 1,000 NFTs, for example, you have to have your tools ready, right? Because you won't draw them by hand. So I think of these things as tools. If they are digital or not, even a computer, I mean, it's a digital machine. For me, it already feels like physical, kind of. It sounds crazy, but I think in tools, kind of. Yeah, I hope you understand what I mean.
Oh, yes, 100%. And I truly believe that you're an excellent example of how to mix both medias, you know, to try to benefit the most of your work. Like, definitely. And I think, you know, like, I've been wanting to do something like that because at the end of the day, it's like mixing two different worlds, completely different. I don't know you guys, but my world when physical compared with digital, obviously, it's more raw. And I think that's pretty cool. And obviously, you know, like, we have the technology. We have to, you know, take the chance to use it. Daniel, Drew, what do you think about this topic? And if you want to share any, you know, story about when you try digital versus physical?
Well, in my case, I'm mostly like a physical artist because I mean, the beginning of my creative process begins with the paper. I found very interesting this conversation about the quality of paper, how much if the importance we put in the quality of our papers. In my case, I do select, it's like a process that I really enjoy select the quality of paper of my drawings, for example. To be more careful with the quality of materials and especially with paper, because the quality of paper will give you like an entire whole life of your art pieces, or maybe it can last just a year, you know? Like the quality is quite important. And in my case, as a physical artist as well, I see the physical art, like for example, the drawings that I do, as maybe as a step just before go to the digital art. Because in many cases, I have just started like making drawings on the paper, charcoals, pencils, colors. And afterwards, I just do something in the, like for example, in Photoshop with the pictures of what I have done in a physical way. So maybe we can consider like maybe as a tool or maybe as a step of our creative processes, you know? And I was thinking that the quality of the material that we use is quite important. It's like a serious decision, you know?
Oh, 100%. I cannot agree more, you know, like, and you can feel it, like, when you're drawing on a normal notebook rather than when you get your sketchbook with the proper paper, like, it already feels different when you're drawing. So 100% agree on that. By the way,
yeah,
go ahead, Daniel. I don't want to cut you.
No. I just totally agree with what you're talking about, because I remember when, I mean, at the very beginning, when I was like studying for being an artist, I used to use like normal paper, print paper, and the drawings never last more than 2 months.
That's completely true. Like, I'm still having my sketchbook, like, with proper paper from ages ago, and they look exactly the same when I finished back then. So, yeah, quality tools are pretty important as well. I think they are worth to invest if you really want to, you know, pursue your career as an artist. Obviously, I'm not going to say, guys, if any one of you are maybe thinking about, you know, to follow your passion, you love to create, you don't need to start all this, you know, expensive tool. It's not needed at all, you know. But I think, like, when you continue, you will, you know, like, it's good to start adding, like, proper quality tools to your work. Drew, I don't know if you have something to add about this. If not, we're going to continue with more questions that are coming to my mind. And I guess Drew will agree on everything we said. Okay, so following the topic of physical and digital, to be honest, I have so many questions in my mind right now. I don't know from where to start. I already asked you if you have some, you know, story to share. I share my, like, I felt so lost at the beginning. And to be honest, the iPad for me was a gift coming from heaven, because I could really see what I was doing. Seriously, like, drawing blind is not a joke. But yeah, Daniel, go ahead.
Yes, talking about the topic, I remember like I was talking with Figueres about something that is related to this topic, and he made an amazing illustration, and he decided to print it into Rizzo. Maybe he can share something about this. Maybe if he's here in the chat, maybe he can tell us something about it, like, the decision that he took about to make an illustration to a print, like, you know, recent print, the color, quality, the paper, yeah, you know, like this.
Yes, absolutely. So, Figueres, I'm seeing you're here in the stage. Please give us a little introduction, because I think it's the first time we're talking. If I'm not mistaken, you're from Colombia as well. So, hola, ¿qué tal? Love to have more Spanish speaker around me, to be honest. So, give us a little introduction. And yes, please share your story with us.
hello. Yes, I'm from Colombia. From Bogota. I'm a great friend with Aura and Daniel. And yes, what can I say about me? I work a lot with ink and paper and digital as well. I find myself going between those mediums. So it's kind of my topic, what you're talking right now, because I had printed a lot of my stuff, and
okay.
Say something.
Yes, you know, let me tell you something. The problem is when I have the mic, I don't like the, you know, empty times. So I need to feel it. But this is just me and myself. Actually, I would love to know, like, which is the difference you feel between physical and digital? What else can you share about your art now that you're saying that is basically what you do? You know, like, mixing media.
Hello. Jeff. I find digital art, moreover, me who works with line art, more difficult than with ink.
Hey, Maria, sorry if this is maybe not 100% a response to your prompt, your question, but just maybe like a random thought. You know, obviously relating to digital and physical and whatnot, it is interesting how, like, you know, when a work that is digital becomes physical, it maybe changes the perceived value of it. Or like the inverse of that is also kind of true. Like, you know, when a physical piece of art becomes digital, again, is there like a perceived value change there? This is something I've kind of been thinking a lot of in relation to like work that I've been doing lately, in that like, does something inherently have more value because it's only physical and there's only one of it, versus, you know, yeah, you know, if something is like an NFT and, you know, you get into like discussions about open editions and one of ones and so on and so forth and rarity and all this stuff. I think like, you know, maybe similar rules kind of apply to like physical prints if you do large runs of things versus like an original painting and so on. But I'm curious to know if anybody has any like thoughts on that.
Actually, it's a great question. I'm gonna let Figaro to continue. I think you couldn't hear him, but he was talking before. So Figaro, continue with your explanation and also maybe give us an answer to the question that you put in the table. Like, would you consider physical art to have more value than digital?
I don't think so. It's actually the same. It's only different mediums. Only that.
And what? Yeah.
Go ahead.
And what do you feel about physical versus digital art?
Well, yeah, I was talking about it before he started talking. I think for me, it's more difficult to make pieces in digital, even though I do a lot of digital pieces, but I don't think that demerit the value of one or another. So, yeah.
Well, thank you so much. I have to say that I'm checking now because obviously I'm stalking you while you're speaking. A really great art. Like, love it. Like, seriously, you know, I just discovered you, so I'm just taking a time to check your account. Pretty cool. Guys, what do you think about what Drew asked us? Like, do you think that physical has more value than digital? I'm going to answer as well myself. I think it's complicated, to be honest, because in my case, physical is more complicated than digital, right? Like, I know if I spend hours and hours on my iPad, I know I will spend way more, the double, even the triple, doing it physical, because, you know, like, you have to be sure you're doing it properly. You cannot make mistake. If you make mistake, you have to redo it again. So obviously, in my case, I think considering like time consuming, maybe physical will be more value, but just for the fact that for me it's more difficult, let's say. Daniel, go ahead.
Yes, about that question, I think the value all depends on the person, you know, like it's so subjective, like to say that maybe physical art or digital art has more value than the other one. So I think it all depends on what the people are thinking and their perspective, you know. For sure, there are people that find physical art as a more valuable, maybe because of all these features that you said before, like maybe the time, before the materials and all these kind of things that physical art demands. But maybe digital art for other kind of people has more value than physical, maybe because of the, the mastery of doing it in a software like maybe Illustrator, Photoshop, I don't know, like many software out there in the digital ecosystem, you know? So I think the value just depends on the perspective of the creators, but I think both of them are very valid and are awesome. Maybe are not the same, but each kind of expression of art has something important just to express, you know, like they are really good mediums. You can reach out to certain results, but maybe if they are not the same, they have maybe the same value, but all depends from the perspective that they are seen, you know.
Yes, I couldn't agree more on that, to be honest. At the end of the day, I think it's all about what the curators or maybe collector will receive, even though, you know, maybe you put 100 hours on a piece, the other one end up being more valuable for whoever. But I really want to hear from you, Sebi, because obviously you have tons of years of experience on physical art. So what is your take?
Well, as Daniel said, I think also that there shouldn't be a difference. Also, Figaro said it's the same. I'm totally on that page. It's more about how many people believe in it. So it's about when and what new rooms and what new systems you are in. So, for example, you have really bad, not bad kids, but really bad art in early NFTs. And these are just like, let's say, a pixel in one color tone. And they are maybe 100,000 euros worth because they were first. And the same applies to art history. If you and when the techniques were, for example, oil painting was new or something before photography, you know. And there is always the system you live in as much as important as the piece you produce. And in the end, the people need to believe in what you do and be you have to be early, you know. So I also joined the Web3 space because I saw, as a scientist in arts, I saw that there is a new space opened, and I joined because I understood that this is important for the future, and it's important to be part of it. And then the art is whatever the art is, but it's also the things around us that are important. And for example, when photography became available, art changed completely. And the same thing just happens right now with Web3.
100% on what you said. Ara, what do you think about what Sebi shared?
Hey, I agree with this. Maybe I have another topic to be a con. Is about the mistake in the physical art. The mistake is a potential good thing, because if you make a different texture like an accident, if you can learn about the mistake, is very very good for you. But in the tablet and the iPad and the digital drawing, you don't need learn about the mistake in the same way, because you only return to the al anterior dibujo. I don't know how do you say in English, but voy a hablar en español y me ayudas, María, de pronto. Yes.
Sí, claro.
El provecho del error, o sea, en el arte físico casi que es necesario el error, mientras que en otro das control Z y ya vuelves a lo que estaba. Entonces, eso me parece increíble.
100%. So she was saying like how beautiful it is to have the opportunity to make mistake while doing physical art, because obviously what I was saying, like if you make a mistake, you cannot go back, like in the iPad. If you're familiar with an iPad, you go like control Z, whatever, or you go back and your mistake is down, right? Like you're gonna start again. But however, on physical, you don't have that option. Also, I would like to ask you guys, the ones who use iPad, please tell me I'm not alone, that when I'm drawing on my sketchbook, sometimes I find myself, you know, pressing like if I was gonna go back. And obviously it's not happening. Sebi, go ahead.
Yeah. in terms of these little funny and helpful mistakes, I'm 100% with you, but the same can happen in digital world. But beside that, if you look at, for example, AI work, I mean, there's no go back button, right? It's also you collect mistakes and make them your art kind of thing, what I think is really strange. And what do you think about this AI thing and creating? Because I really have a hard time. I mean, I use it here and there, and I use it as a tool for text, for example, or as an inspiration. But in terms of creating art, I think you're not in full control. So I don't like that. I like my limits and everything, and I like to make the best out of the systems I can work in. But AI is like a totally new topic. What do you think, guys?
Well, myself, I have to say that I have so much respect for the ones that can do something amazing with AI, because that is not me. For me, it's difficult, to be honest, because obviously you have your idea in mind. And if you're an artist, it's easy to try to make it, right? But with prompts and song, I never got what I wanted, to be honest. I use it as well, as you said, you know, as a tool for example, backgrounds, because it's easier, right? Like when you want to create a bigger collection, I've been using it and then adding as well, like digital work on it. But I didn't have the chance to create like a proper piece on the AI. I don't know how to do it properly, to be honest. So I'm going to leave the mic to whoever wants to jump in here.
On the topic, yeah, I'll jump in. But yeah, just on the topic of AI, it's, you know, it is something that obviously like moves extremely quickly. And as a tool for like art making, you know, it's something that, like, sometimes, like, we're always fascinated by, like, the latest, greatest, like, fancy, shiny new version of, like, whatever anything is, you know what I mean? And if we take something like Midjourney, for example, which I'm sure a lot of us are familiar with, when we consider that, like, you know, a year or two ago, the kind of quality that application was producing, it's in ways it's like nowhere near what it's capable of now. And you know, we look at AI video and all that stuff, it's all moving so quickly, but it moves so quickly that we don't have like the ability to like stop and actually like value it for what it is, if that makes any sense. Like I know, you know, a lot of people feel a certain way about AI and images made by AI, and certainly there are like ethical considerations around like the use of them and everything like that. But to me, when I look at them now, like what those models were putting out 2 years ago, it's infinitely more interesting to look at than what they put out now, in my opinion. Like the way people use these programs to like, it's all over our Twitter feeds. It's all over the internet and in social media and so on and so forth. It's like everything tends to look the same for a while until they build the next version of it. And then we like forget about whatever it was 3 months ago. You know what I mean? But, you know, I think there is value in like looking back and, you know, using that tool like for what it was good for, you know what I mean? Which in some cases is like making something that looks wrong, you know, like I think there's value in something like that.
Yeah, for example, the Fun Drop collection was entirely like the canvases I used, the artistry pieces I used, I upscaled and enhanced these with AI. So there were a lot of funny little mistakes that made me doodle better and have fun with it. So I just used the tool for making my art. But in some cases, it feels like it's just a one-click prompt to make a collection and look like something that maybe sell. And I don't really like that because I'm a guy who put like half my life of effort in my art. And if anybody comes up with a prompt and €5 for the service and the collection is done, I'm not happy with that. But still, AI is a very interesting thing and it's doing unbelievably good stuff, like the moving videos and stuff that's coming up. We won't be able to wrap our heads around what's coming. But still, and what you said also interesting. If you look back 1 year, I think it was DALL-E, the first version. I was so keen on trying it out and I really digged into that to make it what I wanted to make. But as Maria said, it didn't do what I want. So I felt like losing control using it. And I also disliked that. But still, I was really, really happy with having the art history re-enhanced by AI with all its faults and the faults that are now, like the hands don't work and stuff like that. But it's really cool. And I'm sure if we look back in years, in these steps the AI made, we will be able to analyze and understand what period of time it comes from. And that's cool. That's art history. It's a progression. And I like that. And I'm really interested in how this tool is going to change what I do, what it already did, and what other artists do. So I'm more than happy to see it grow and prosper. The same with 3D graphics. I mean, this was also crazy. It's good to have new tools here and there.
Oh, 100%. And we can even see it. I don't know if you guys remember the first AI pictures with the hands with, you know, 6 fingers or so. Like, you were thinking, like, what is wrong with this? OMG, they look like monster. And now you could really, I mean, the ones who know how to do it, obviously not myself, you could really get an amazing piece created by AI. I'm really fascinated by the possibility that we have to play with this new tool. On the other side, it's also controversy in the sense that I know a few software from AI has been learning from, you know, the art of other artists. My question would be, like, did they have the rights to use that? You know, like, it gets tricky, to be honest, the conversation. But I really would love to try, you know, to learn more on how to, you know, mix and play around. Because at the end of the day, you know, like, being an artist, we always love to experiment with new tools. And this is a huge one that we can, you know, really enjoy. And also what you mentioned, Sebi, about the videos. I don't know if you guys are aware, but I remember I saw a post recently, maybe forever months ago, but, you know, I don't know which day I'm living, on what you could do with AI, like videos, and you can directly create a video clip or whatever. And to me, that is crazy. So, Chris Mullins, please jump into the conversation. How are you doing?
Hey, hope everybody's doing well. I'm not exactly the biggest fan of AI from my own work. I don't know if it's an ethical thing or it's difficult for me, someone who is very controlling, to wrap my head around this slot machine where you're saying, oh, you know, this is kind of what I want and I hope I get that. But regardless of what I think and what I feel, there are some people who are really, you know, building a whole process around this and have become more or less, you know, computer engineers and computer programmers that are just using AI. Like, it's like, if you look at Comfy, I think it's called Comfy UI. It's Jeff Jagg, who's a generative artist uses it, but his process is just, it's like hours and hours and hours on a single image. And then once you see that, it's like, okay, well, he's not just taking an image and hitting a prompt and saying, this is it. Like, he's really working into it and getting results that I think you can't just get with a prompt. But regardless of what I might think about AI or its use or its ethics, you know, it's a technology and it's a really impressive technology. And what, you know, we as a species have always come into contact with is when you go against technology, you inevitably lose. I mean, it's like, that's how we got cars. That's how we got the printing press. That's how we got, you know, mechanical looms. Like, sure, it's disruptive, but like, disruptions are what make business. So I can't imagine it going anywhere. I can only imagine it getting, you know, more refined. And as, you know, companies like Adobe have adopted it, and granted, they haven't adopted it nearly as well as somebody like Midjourney. As that becomes more mainstream and part of a subscription model, like, it's just going to get more refined. It's just going to get easier to use. And hopefully, it'll be a better tool for artists.
Yeah, for example, we had on Stargaze when I think Knight is the name, he made the nightmares. And these were actually the first kids drawing style nightmare monsters here on Stargaze. Now we are like flooded by hand-drawn AI, whatever things. But this one was like the first one. And as I said, when it's the first in our little cousin, when it's the first, it's really enjoyable. And I talked to him a little bit behind the scenes on X, and he told me about his prompts, and he was very open and very, very interesting to listen to, telling me about how complicated these prompts can get. And as you said, there are people using tools like in a good way, like a pencil, you can draw shit, or you can draw photorealistic portraits, you know. So how to use the tool is maybe the thing. But yeah, I was really fascinated by that, and I bought some. But as we get fluted, artists like him just lose grip, and maybe, I don't know, I didn't see the latest work of his, but I really enjoyed it. That's what I wanted to throw in here.
I don't really know who you're talking about. Do you mind stooping something here so I can check it?
I have a look. I send it. I think I don't know how to pin, actually. That's
okay. This is pretty easy. Let me educate you all, guys. So you go to the post, and when you click the three dots or the share whatever emoji, then there it will appear the option to share on the space you are.
All right. I got it. I have a look. I sent something.
So yes, answering what you said, I think at the end of the day, obviously, it depends on how you use the tool. It's what I was saying. Like, I remember at the beginning of AI, it was like a lot of controversy because different software took, you know, art from artists without asking permission, and they were just learning about it, which I don't think is fair, to be honest. Then on the other hand, it's like everything you put on the internet is there for everyone, right? So it's really a tricky conversation. I don't know if we have signal back, to be honest. Bradley, are you around, or you're still walking with the dog? I'm going to take that as you're still walking with the dog. Well, I'm going to wait to have that pause, because I really want to know what we're talking about. But also, consider that today is Fresh Friday, however you want to call it, guys. I want to ask you, which was the last NFT you bought and why? Please, someone answer me.
One of the most recent ones I got was Signal B's Meatwood Tower of Florence Project, Proto Towers. And let me tell you, am I happy about that one? Very cool project. Would love to try contributing something to it eventually. But if anybody is like not familiar with that one, it there's a lot of like community involvement in that project. I'm not sure if they're in the audience or whatever. But anyways, that was the most recent one I got, or one of the most recent ones I got.
Yeah, I submitted that. There's a lot of people that have submitted to Proto Towers, like Stardy's done one, Sebi's done one. So it's a pretty cool collection just to, if you want to play around with some pixel art.
I really don't know how you apply for that.
Talk to Flan on X, as easy as that. And there is a Discord as well. And there's a cool community, actually. They are really happy, happy crowd, and good people. I did three. I did my fun friends, Towers, and I put a little game in it. So if they're auctioned, because it's like one of ones that get auctioned. So you have to win the auction. And I said, if anybody wins all three, I will do a one extra open edition for that. And so it's still mintable, only minted 10, so very scarce. And yeah, I did this tower then of Poigel. Yeah, anyways, but I had a lot of fun with the Flans project, and I think these kind of community projects are something special, really cool. And Maria, by the way, I posted it, but it didn't pop up. I'm not sure if I fuck it up. Anyways,
no, I put it as well, and yes, I remember this. I don't know if he has been doing more things like that. It was pretty cool, to be honest. I don't know what I was about to say.
Yeah, he did. He also did the Anons, like this kind of Simpsons mix up with spot colors. Yeah, two really cool collections. But for now, I don't know. But I dig them regarding AI.
Yeah, I wish I could mint like a sloth or whatever you call them. I think they're pretty fun, and now they have been doing really well. Also, this babu, whatever you call them, I don't know what do you feel, guys, but I love them. Like, they are so fun. You know, I'm just trying to catch up, and suddenly you find like 100 different collections, and it's like, damn, and it's a lot, you know, to work to do. But my recent piece on Stargaze was yours open edition, Drew, and on Polygon from few female ladies. I've been, you know, this week trying to catch up with sleep. I was also buying art, really happy kid, like, okay, I'm still sick, let's gonna recover buying art. But yeah, pretty nice.
Thanks for picking that up, appreciate it. Also, I have to say sorry to Figueroa's for earlier. I did, or anyone else who I was speaking over. That was Spaces, I promise.
Well, no worries. Also, I would love to know more, and then we're getting close to, you know, wrap up the space, because in few minutes we're gonna start NFT Happy Hour, guys. And I don't know about you, but I'm excited to hear from you. I got the pleasure to see him moderating the panel during Web3 Uncover event on NFT NYC. It was pretty cool. So I hope he's gonna be sharing, you know, news and stuff on the next space. But Drew, I saw your sneak peek. As I told you, I already love it. And when?
Yeah. Well, thank you. It's in progress. It's the follow up to the piece that just finished minting today. So it's going to be called Imagine Spaces 2, and that little snippet that was posted is literally just that. It's like a small snippet of a much, much larger piece. Been having a lot of fun with experimenting with like very, very large scale collages. So it's nearing completion. I might wait a little bit to release it just because the last one just wrapped up today. But I will be posting a lot more teasers.
That's so nice. So, well, guys, I'm going to give you the opportunity, if you want to add something, share something about what you're working on. If you have, obviously, like Daniel, a collection now being minted, please go ahead, share your news before we close the space. Ora, go ahead.
Hey, Maria and everyone. I come in this space with my new and recent open edition. That piece is called The Flaneur. And it's an oil on canvas. I hope you like, and if you can help me to pin in this space, I recommend you see the collection to Daniel too. His future and the pieces are awesome.
I already pinned it here, guys, and make sure you check everything on the Jumbotron because I pinned everything. Daniel, please let us know something else about your current mint.
Oh, God. I mean, I'm almost speechless because I feel like, when you are so emotional, you know, you cannot put it into words, you know. But because I mean, this like this experience that has took 2 months of my life has been intense, you know, like to learn to understand all this ecosystem and all what NFT does. So I'm just like trying to settle down myself at first. But yeah, I'm full of gratitude with you all guys for being so cool, so patient, so kind to me. I'm full of gratitude. And yes, I'm pretty I got expectations with this first collection, and I think it has one piece has been already mint, so that's super exciting. Just looking forward to you all guys going to see this project on Stargaze. And I'll be here, I'll be yours if you need anything from me, from the project, if you want to chat. Yes, I'm here, I'm yours. Full of gratitude with you all guys, seriously.
That's so nice. Signal, don't you remember when you were minting that you were like Daniel?
Yes.
I feel so emotional now. Daniel, seriously, you're going to love it. Signal, go ahead. Yes, cut me, please. I've been talking all the time.
I was like Daniel back then, but less charming, I think. I just wanted to say my last one that I meant to was Daniel's. I just grabbed one of yours, Daniel. So congrats on launching your production. I got one of the square ones, the two-piece, which is really sweet. I know we got to close up pretty quick, hey? But Nucleus of you hopped up, the Council of Scientists. Did you just want to say hello quickly?
Yeah, just wanted to say that we're also minting. We started public phase today around 13 UTC. And we're minting. We're about 67% through. And it's a pixel art and science themed collection. Yeah.
Well, awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you so much. And also to the ones that are minting, I ping as well to the Jumbotron the link to the space for NFT Happy Hour if you want to join us and share as well, because obviously it's focused on Stargaze this time, and I would love to hear from you guys and give you more space to share. Also, I'm going to share with all of you guys, because I know you love art. I don't know if you know, but my favorite artist from both Web 2 and Web 3 is here in the space. If you hear me talking on spaces, I'm sure that you have heard me talk about how much like Habiba Green inspired me. And it was like my last push to say like, okay, let's gonna try myself to bring the art. Now she's having a free mint on Base. I don't know how much familiar you are with Base. Actually, I'm gonna discuss about that on the next space, but I'm gonna pin here the link in case you want to grab as well one of her pieces.
Thank you so much, everyone.
All right, should we wrap it up?
Hey, guys, thank you.
If anyone has any final comments before we go?
Well, I will say just keep having fun, you know, with art, with everything, with any medium you're experiencing. Keep having fun in the space. Really glad to catch up with all of you and see you in the next space in half an hour.
Yeah, thank you so much, everybody. Thanks, guys. I was really happy that I was offline for about 30 minutes. I think it goes way better when I'm not talking. And so I really appreciate all the speakers coming up and sharing. And let's keep it going. See you next time. Motherfucker screaming out loud. Look at
for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ends dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these token knocks. They probing this bear, flexing broken knives. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known the politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss. And I'm liking the odds, fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, yo, the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary falls. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of dinner lay stacked in non-toxic just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like the shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Eats tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10 stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few seats, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.
Channel Spaces.